firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than...
Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you aboard the Bible bus for another great adventure in God's Word. Well, today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us through the end of 1 Kings chapter 22 and then straight into 2 Kings chapters 1 and 2. So if you aren't familiar with this section of the Bible, I want to give you a quick hint on the things that we'll see throughout our journey today. First, Ahab dies. That wicked king meets his creator. And then Elijah boldly predicts the death of King Ahaziah. That's the son of Ahab. We'll also witness Elijah call down fire from heaven and later part the waters of the Jordan. Finally, we'll be present as Elisha says goodbye to Elijah before he ascends into heaven on a chariot of fire. And those are just the highlights. There's so much more that happens in this action-packed study, so stay with us. And go ahead and grab your Bible and find your seat, and while you do, I'll share a letter from our world prayer country of the day, Vietnam. And as you probably know, Vietnam is one of the last communist countries in the world. Now, although the Constitution does guarantee religious freedom, churches are required to register with the government, and Christian congregations are often denied. The reality is that believers in Vietnam regularly experience harassment and even persecution by the government and often their neighbors as well. And that's why we rejoice that Through the Bible is making a difference in several languages in Vietnam, including Hmong. Through radio, as well as through SD cards and speaker boxes, God's Word is reaching this first generation of believers who are hungry for His Word. Here's what one listener says. I listen to your Hmong broadcasts and have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. My entire family became Christians too. Please pray for the government to give us freedom. In my area, we are not free to worship God. Many young people give up. And because of persecution, many old people stop going to church. Please pray that we will be strong in the Lord and not look to the things in this world. May we search for things that lead to eternal life in heaven. Well, if you'd like to join us in praying for listeners like this one and thousands of others who are hearing Through the Bible in Vietnam, then join our world prayer team at ttb.org/pray. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the freedom to openly study your word and boldly worship you today in our country and where we live. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Vietnam and around the world who are forced to believe in secret and face severe consequences for their faith in you. Bless them, Lord, protect them, and encourage them as they walk with you. And may today's study resonate in the hearts of all who hear it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, before we get over into the second book of the Kings, I'd like to look at several things that we went over rather hurriedly last time. And one of the concluding remarks I made, and I was shocked when I heard myself say it, I said, poor Ahab, and God warned him later on. Well, it wasn't poor Ahab, actually. He's dead when you get to the end of this book. It was Jehoshaphat, and of course we have his death recorded in this. But he was not slain in battle, although we would say using the common parlance of the street that old Ahab set Jehoshaphat up as a clay pigeon to be slain in the battle. We are told in verse 30 of chapter 22 of 1 Kings, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. Well, you see, the only man in the battle that has on king's robes is Jehoshaphat. And he's a marked man because Ahab has now disguised himself. And it just made the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, made him the real target, when actually it was not his fight at all. And he almost didn't come out of the battle. We are told, verse 32, it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it's the king of Israel. Well, he wasn't. He's the king of Judah. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel that they turned back from pursuing him. They were after the wrong man. And poor Jehoshaphat almost lost his life in the battle through the deception of Ahab. Now, as we said last time, that Ahab actually was not slain by a soldier that aimed at him. The king was not a target, and the soldier did not shoot at Ahab. Yet that arrow found him. This, by the way, is the first guided missile. Verse 34, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture. One of the ordinary soldiers had one arrow left in his quiver. He pulls it out, puts it in the bow, turns it, lets it go. He doesn't know where it's going. It would have to be recorded that Ahab's death could be labeled accidental. But in God's record, it is providential. And that arrow was aimed. And you know, God still uses a very crude form of weapon. He's still back in the bow and arrow days. Over in Psalm 64, verse 7, there's a most interesting verse. Listen to this. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. There are those today that think that they've escaped the hand of God. But I want to tell you, God's got an arrow with your name on it. It'll find you one of these days, no matter how much you try to deceive, no matter how much you try to cover up. Well, that arrow will find you. And that's what happened. And the thing came to pass through Elijah and predicted that this man would die and his blood would be licked up by the dogs in the same place that Naboth had died. And, of course, old Ahab tried to stay away from that place. But here he's wounded and he dies. And his chariot's brought there to Naboth's vineyard and it's washed to get the blood out. The dogs are right there to lick it up. The prophecy was literally fulfilled. Now, this man, Jehoshaphat, made a big mistake. We are told, verse 40, so Ahab slept with his fathers, Ahaziah's son reigned in his stead. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. And we're told here, verse 43, he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And that was a token of compromise that God could not, nor did he bless in the life of this man. It is quite obvious here that this man is a compromiser, and yet he is rated a good king because he did serve God in his own personal life. And we're told, verse 44, and Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now that was a mistake also. He should not have done that. When you get over to 2 Chronicles, and I must turn there to pick up a verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2. We are told that Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. He went out to meet Jehoshaphat when he came back from his visit with Ahab. And he said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Now, the groves were a place of great immorality, but the high places were not taken away where there was offered sacrifices to Baal. He had compromised. Now, we're told in verse 49, then said Ahaziah the son of Ahab unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in the ships. Now the son of Ahab that comes to the throne, why, he wants Jehoshaphat to make a compromise with him, and they go now on a peaceful mission. But Jehoshaphat's learned his lesson. He says, no, thank you. I don't care for this kind of an arrangement at all. Now we're told Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. He's buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Now Ahaziah the son of Ahab, he began to reign over Israel in Samaria. And he reigned 2 years over Israel, verse 52, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the way of his father, in the way of his mother, and that's Ahab and Jezebel, and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. Now, we just move right over to 2 Kings because it picks up the story at this point. And I begin reading now, 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go, inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Now, I don't know why he fell down through the lattice. I would be inclined to say that he got drunk and this is what happened. But if I said that, it would be because I'm gossiping, because I don't know whether it's true or not. But he fell down for some reason. And now, instead of going to the God of Israel, he goes yonder to Baal-zebub, the worship of Baal, the god of Ekron. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there's not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? And this man Elijah, and this was one of his last missions, by the way, he went up and he met the messengers and he gave them the message. And they went back and reported, by the way, to the king. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came to meet you and told you these things? They answered him, He was a hairy man, girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. He said, It's Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. There came fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. My friend, may I say that Elijah is quite a man, is he not? And as I said before, he just didn't seem to fit in with the compromise of the court of Ahab and Jezebel. We hear so much today about that we must learn to communicate and that we must get along with everybody. Well, may I say to you, that is not God's method. And the compromise of the church today and the compromise of the leaders has not led to the world listening to the church. The fact of the matter is, right now, the world's not listening at all. They pass the church by, and they're not listening. Why? Because they'll not listen until the church declares the Word of God. And I believe that if we would do that today and the church could declare the Word of God, that there would be communication. Elijah managed to get through. He was heard. People listened to him, and he's a pretty rough type individual. And the king sent another captain, and of course the same thing happened to him. And this is the judgment now that he pronounces upon this man Ahaziah. Verse 16, he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there's no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. And we find here that this ends the line of this man Ahab. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And we'll have more to say when we get over to 1 and 2 Chronicles. Now we come in chapter 2 to the conclusion of the life of this man, Elijah. And we have here the translation of Elijah as he went up in the chariot of fire, and of Elisha, who now comes on the scene. I have a little book that we are sending out now to those who want to have a part in our ministry. Our notes and outlines, you send for them, we send them to you, you put on our mailing list, and you receive them whether you ever send in anything or not. But we do have to ask that for the books that you send in, an offering for the broadcast. Now, this little book, two episodes from the life of Elisha. I think that Elisha, like Micaiah, that unknown prophet, unknown in the sense we know so little about him, that is the one who pronounced the death that would come upon Ahab, and he joined with Elijah in that. And so he stood for God, but he's overshadowed by Elijah. And also, we find Elisha is overshadowed by Elijah, but he ought not to be. Actually, Elisha performed more miracles than Elijah did. And I'm going to have a great deal to say about that when we get into 2 Kings, which we'll be doing even more so next time. This man is altogether different than Elijah. In fact, they are the opposite in their nature. Elijah was the man for the public, to stand before the public. Elisha was one who ministered personally to individuals, and his ministry was largely in that area. And therefore, it was not quite as exciting and dramatic as that of Elijah. But I feel like that we should call a great deal of attention to him, which, by the way, we're going to do. And we begin reading here in chapter 2, now at verse 1. It came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. He said to them, shut up. I don't want to hear you. I already know it. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Elijah is trying to get Elisha to stay back. Elisha said, no, I know that you're to leave us today, and I want to be present when that takes place. And again, verse 5, the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. You see, the very interesting thing is that people today are turning to all types of outside information. This is the day when the fortune teller and those who deal with the zodiac and those today that are dealing with all kinds of the occult, they turned everywhere but to God. And you won't get any information from any of these areas that you couldn't get from God. Even the sons of the prophets, they were false prophets up in Samaria. They had the information Elijah was to leave, but after all, Elisha already knew it. You won't get anything new, and you're never getting good news in that direction. And we're told that what happened was this, and Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. Now, they come down to the Jordan, and probably I should drop back and read verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. They two went on. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. It came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, don't miss that. Elisha actually is a greater prophet than Elijah. He had a double portion of the Spirit of God upon him. Now he says, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes, rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. He smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now you see, this man, Elisha, is taking the place of Elijah. And he demonstrates his faith. Elijah's not essential. And he takes that robe, he smites the waters, just as Elijah had done. The power's not in Elijah, the power's in God. And Elisha knew that. And now he takes that mantle, he smites the waters, just as Elijah had done. And what happens? Well, this man has the faith that Elijah had. And it's the Lord God of Elijah. He asked that question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? That's the important thing. Instead of looking to man or to methods or to some nostrum that's offered today or to look into some woman, for that matter, a great many people turn in that direction, why not look to the Lord God of Israel, the living God, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not look to the Savior today? That is the important thing. Now, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and went on. Now, when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. They said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servant 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some high mountain or some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. He's gone. You don't have to go over there and investigate. He's not over there. He's been taken. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. Finally said, all right, if you want to go, go ahead. They sent. Therefore, 50 men they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? I told you not to go. You were wasting your time. You won't find him over there. Now, here is an incident that takes place. We won't have time to go into it at all, but we'll get to it next time. We're told the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. He said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. They brought it. Now, this is where Elisha made the waters sweet. We're told, verse 22, so the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And you can see those waters there in that valley, right at Jericho, by the way. They are there today. I did not drink of them. Be honest with you, I'm a little afraid to drink water that's out in the open in that land. It's apt to be contaminated. But I'm told by those that were brave enough to drink it that it is very sweet water, very delicious water to drink, by the way. Now, this is the second miracle of Elisha. Now, next time we're actually going to see a third one, and we're going to see how that one man handled a gang of hoodlums, or how he handled a protest movement. We'll see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
That's a great introduction for tomorrow's broadcast. I hope that you'll join us as the Bible Bus rolls ahead in our study of 2 Kings. Now, at the end of the broadcast, Dr. McGee challenged us to look to the Lord God of Israel, the living God, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you or maybe someone you know would like to know more about placing your trust and hope in God, we'd love to give you a few free resources. Just visit our website at ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll see you here tomorrow as we continue our adventure through the Bible.
All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.